discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Faith under the brightest of lights. Living out what you believe while you're a role model to thousands. Both our stories today on the road explore this unique opportunity and challenge. In just minutes, we'll welcome CCM recording artist Danny Gokey and discover a journey of promise, waiting, grief, and uncontainable hope. But first, we welcome the new quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Case Keenum is the author of the much-anticipated new book, Playing for More, Trust Beyond What You Can See, releasing this Tuesday. 2018 has been an unforgettable year for the young quarterback. Vikings fans will never forget his playoff run with Minnesota. Now a new contract with Denver and a fresh season underway this coming week. We kick things off with Case, and I promise I didn't even mean to make that pun happen, asking about his adjustment to the Mile High City, where the rumor is oxygen is a bit more sparse than in Minneapolis.
Well, it took us a month to get used to it, but after a few little headaches and breathing hard going up the stairs, we're doing great, man. There's not a lot to complain. It's a beautiful city, beautiful scenery, man. The Rocky Mountains in the distance, and then all sorts of stuff to do outdoors, man. Biking, hiking, it's a beautiful place to live. The people are great, and we're really enjoying it. That's for sure.
Well, the title of the new book, Playing for More, Trust Beyond What You Can See, obviously begs the question right away. What is the more in playing for more, sir?
It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things, but at the same time, it's one thing. And for me, it's playing for the audience of one. That's kind of a buzzword or a saying that we've used a bunch. It's playing all for the glory of my Savior, and that's what I concentrate on every time I step on the field. No matter what happens, I want to give the glory to God.
Has faith always been a part of your story? Did it come about along the road? Where did it enter into your life, sir?
I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are both Christians. I've been married for a long time, so I grew up in the church. For me, it really became real, though, when I went to college. My faith became, my own. I guess you could say that, I didn't have my parents waking me up to go to church. I didn't have my parents checking on me to make sure I was doing the right thing. I could make my own decisions. And that's when it became real. I found out that football wasn't as easy as I thought it was. I had to work at it, and I realized that it wasn't the only thing. Just had to make sure that I kept God number one and kept chasing after Him, and everything else would fall into place.
Oh, that's really well said. So our radio network is based in the Upper Midwest. There are simply too many Vikings fans listening right now for me not to ask you to go through it one more time. What you refer to in Playing for More as the third best moment of your life, the Minneapolis miracle. In the divisional playoffs in January against the Saints, New Orleans is up 1, 25 seconds to go. You're 60 long yards away from their end zone. You take the snap, you fire to Stephon Diggs. Can you transport us back inside your head while that utterly crazy moment unfolds?
Yeah. If you were inside my head at that point, you wouldn't hear a lot of intelligence. Man, I was after the play, after Diggs caught the ball, turned and, obviously went on and scored. At first, I really didn't know what had happened. It all happened so fast. Just 10 seconds to go, you're really trying to get out of bounds and maybe kick a field goal, but scoring is, you're like, what? Are we going to score a touchdown? I was really surprised, but, Then after that, I was just screaming and yelling and trying to find somebody in purple, running around, celebrating with my teammates. It was incredible. I told the guys in the huddle I was going to give somebody a chance. And Stephon Diggs, man, I'm glad he didn't run out of bounds. That's for sure.
I love the honesty of that. Speaking of honesty, one of the most compelling parts of your book to me, all the stories you include of the people who said, you know, Case, you're great, but you're probably not going to make it to the NFL. I love that you included those. Why did you do that? And what gave you the determination to keep going even after hearing so many of those things?
You know, I try very, very hard to not listen to the people that don't believe in me, but to listen to the people that do believe in me. You know, I think proving those people right, the people that believe in you, proving those people right is more important than proving people wrong. Not to say it doesn't feel good to prove people wrong in that aspect, but, man, I think it's just so important to focus on positive things, focus on the people that care about you and believe in you, and they're really the people that actually matter. And, you know, that's what I've done over my career, and, you know, just kept my eye on the prize, and, you know, God's taking care of the rest.
Well said. Mr. Case Keenum, quarterback of the Denver Broncos, the author of the much-anticipated new book, Playing for More, Trust Beyond What You Can See, releasing September the 4th. Possibly one of the weirdest tensions of what you do, the reality you live with, you play this beloved kids game, you know, and we definitely start out with games to have fun, but you're playing against the backdrop, of course, of what's become a multi-billion dollar industry with these intense, persistent pressures to perform at the highest level. You talk a lot about how key it is for you to continue having fun playing football. Why is that so important? And I imagine it's not always easy.
You know, it's not. It definitely is a business. You know what we do. You know, it's you know, a lot of people's livelihood. You know, coaches, staff, other players, and then coaches and staff and other players on other teams. So it's, you know, sometimes hard to remember that we're playing a game. But man, it's a fun game. I love playing football. My teammates, we love playing football. Man, it's a great, great sport, man. I think it's one of the best team sports. I think it's the best team sport that there is. You know, it's just there's so much work that goes into it, and it's so rewarding when it you know, you see it come out on the field. And so, man, I love what I do. I love going out to practice. It is work. You know, it's hard work, but
yeah.
I love getting out there with my teammates and working.
You know, you spend a lot of time talking about how much your dad shaped the person that you've become. How did he influence your approach to marriage, to friendship, and athletics? It really sounds like his influence has been massive.
Yeah, my dad, he's my hero. You know, and I'm finding out that he's more right than I ever dreamed that he would be, man. So I've really appreciated him more and more as I've gotten older. But you know, man, he's set the example for me day in and day out since I was a little kid. So I've really appreciated what he's meant to me and how he's lived his life. Because, you know, I tell people he's the best example of what my heavenly father is going to be like in heaven.
Oh, that's so well said. Well, you know, we talked about the flip side of the coin a little bit, how to keep going when folks don't believe in you. Well, in the past year, you've experienced a lot of the opposite side of the coin, right? I mean, you're being celebrated after the Minneapolis Miracle, of course. You were hailed as a hero. And how do you stay humble when there are so many people praising you?
You know, I think just trying to stay the same, no matter if people are, you know, praising you or cussing you out, you know, because I've been on the other end of it, too.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think that's going back to what I said before, is listening to the people that really matter. I keep people around me that tell me the truth, you know, that challenge me, encourage me, but, you know, make sure that, you know, I'm doing the right thing and, you know, staying on the right path. So not getting too high with the highs or too low with the lows. I think I think that's important.
Yeah, for all of us, for sure. All right. Case Keenum, quarterback of the Denver Broncos, the author of the much-anticipated new book, Playing for More, Trust Beyond What You Can See, releasing September 4th. And, sir, we know we need to let you get back to preparing for the preseason, but if somebody wants to learn more about you and pick up a copy of the book, where's the best place to start, sir?
Amazon right now will be, but, man, I think Lifeway, Christian stores, all bookstores, and you know, there's a lot of different places that you can definitely get it now. So I appreciate that.
Splendid. Well, sir, thank you so much for your time. It was a real honor to chat with you a little bit today.
Thanks, man.
Danny Gokey's path has been an exciting one. The former worship leader and truck driver from Milwaukee gained worldwide fame when he shared his vocal talent on Fox's American Idol. After a season of finding his voice following the show, he's become one of the most beloved artists in contemporary Christian music. He's heading out on a big tour this fall, but right now, Danny says he and his family are just trying to get adjusted to their new house.
This summer's been a great summer. We actually just moved into a new place not too long ago. And so a couple weeks ago, we're living in the midst of a renovation right now with the house that we bought. But this house, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, honestly, we live in a country now. I mean, we are country folks.
What?
We live on 24 acres in Franklin, Tennessee.
Do you bale your own hay?
I don't, but my neighbor does bale the hay from our yard. He really does. Love that you asked that question. We have, so there's this thing called like a green belt that you can be a part of. And so we use our land for agriculture. So the neighbor comes over, we grow out a lot of our grassy areas, and he cuts it and bales it as hay. And so it gives us a tax discount every year.
That is the coolest thing ever. I also, speaking of the big issues of the day, I came across this from your Twitter feed. And by the way, if you've never followed Danny on social media before, he is extremely deep, extremely wise, and also quite entertaining as well. This is a recent tweet from Danny. He says, "Scientists need to stop wasting time cloning things and focus on engineering chickens born boneless, spicy, and covered in buffalo sauce."
Let me just tell you this. Let's just be honest, Ryan. We'd save a lot of, you know, it'd probably cut a few jobs because if it just came out that way, you know, we wouldn't need people to make them.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, let's just get down to it. Boneless buffalo wings are just the best. I mean, aren't they?
Well, they really are. People have very intense opinions about this. But when it comes to my opinion, I agree wholeheartedly with you. So let's talk about the Hope Encounter Tour. Our listening friends in South Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin will all have the chance to go and to see this just incredible lineup. Yourself, Torin Wells, Riley Clemens, take us inside the heart behind the Hope Encounter Tour and sort of what you hope to convey and what you hope people experience.
Yeah, I think for this, we really want people to encounter God through the message of hope and through entertainment. We bring that through entertainment. I'm designing a show, so I've kind of put a lot of thought into this, and I've just been asking God, give us direction. The lady who's designing the show, she actually designs the show on NBC's The Four, if people have seen that show. She also has her own TV show on Lifetime called Beyond the Spotlight. Her name is Lorianne Gibson, and she's a lady that I brought in. I said, listen, I just told her, I said, I want to take a risk. I want to step out. I want to... So out of the 30 cities that we're doing this tour, we're doing about 24 of them at theaters because I want to create a neutral space. We have about 6 churches mixed in there, but we want to bring people who would never step into church and people who would go to church. But we just want to invite everyone to come to a show and get the gospel of Jesus Christ through entertainment, through hope. I believe people are going to encounter new beginnings there as they encounter God, and they're going to encounter a paradigm shift. I'm just believing that God, I mean, you could turn on the news. I mean, we see it, we feel it. There's a lot of people dealing with depression, even Christians. And I think, you know, one of my testimonies, you know, I've walked through a loss of a spouse. I've walked through the darkest times. God has brought me through, but depression, unfortunately, has been one of those things pulling at me and taking me down. And I share that with people. We're hoping to save lives on this tour. So we're really expecting God to show up greatly.
Why did you want Torin Wells, Riley Clemens to be your partners in this? What was it about their artistry and their ministry that just appealed to you so much?
I love the freshness of their sound, and I love the lyrics. And Torin is such a great guy. He's on fire for God. He's just a person who's just walking, you know, in favor, and his message is strong. And so I wanted to bring him along. I love his music. We have Riley, who is up and coming and brand new. She is super talented, super pop, super. I mean, she's incredible. You got it. Her voice is unparalleled. And so you just got to hear. She's 18 years old, too. It's unbelievable how young she is and how talented she is.
Is it pretty special? I know one of the stops on the Hope Encounter Tour will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Is it pretty special to go back home after everything that's happened, to go back to those people that have supported you for so long on this journey?
Absolutely, man. Going back, we're playing the Pabst Theater there. I'm from Milwaukee. I'm just, you know, I'm pinching myself. Can't believe I'm going back to do a show there, my own show there. And so it's exciting to know that where God has taken me from. You have to remember, like, man, I encountered some deep heartbreak in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But God has restored and healed, and I come back a different man. And that's what I'm hoping for people on this tour, is that they come to this theater one way, but they leave these shows another way, a different person. Caught a glimpse of heaven, caught a glimpse of their future through what God wants to do through them, so that they don't give up and they keep pressing on.
I love that. Mr. Danny Gokey is with us, the much-loved recording artist, taking his Hope Encounter Tour all across America this fall, including to South Dakota, Wisconsin, and to Minnesota. You know, up top, you traced sort of the outlines of your story. This remarkable journey that has so much loss in it, but so much hope, so much redemption. You mentioned the time in Milwaukee, and you were actually a truck driver for a significant amount of time, right? Can you take us, how did you go from truck driver to discovering music, or was music something you were in love with the whole time?
Yeah, music was something that I was in love with the whole time. I think the interesting thing about my story is that I did drive truck and I led worship at a church. It was local, so I would drive locally a semi-truck 8 to 10 hours a day, and then I would hop over to church at night and lead worship. Or, you know, if it wasn't a church night, I was doing rehearsals. It was two churches, so I was constantly at the churches, you know, day in and day out. But it was one of those things where God built my character. I remember sitting in my semi-truck at a loading dock, getting offloaded. And I just remember telling God, I missed it. You know, I thought that I'd be in my music career by now, but apparently I missed it. I said, God, I'm gonna do music because I love music and lead worship and do that. But I said, I just started asking God, what's the next step you have for me? And I started studying business and started studying all these different things. And little did I know that it wasn't the end of my music career and that God was still molding me in that moment. You know, it's never too late to become who God has called you to be. I think that's the lie that people, yeah, you made mistakes. Yeah, you got off course. Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. But as long as you have breath in your lungs, you can make a change. Wow. Jesus made a change that we can connect with at the cross, and that change can flow through you. It's not too late to become what God has called you to be.
You know, just alongside of that, I stumbled across this quote that you uttered that was just so, so good. You said, we tend to give up too soon, especially we kind of live microwave dreams. If I think it today and it doesn't happen tomorrow, it's not going to happen. How did you come to that place? I mean, instead of in that moment where you were really giving up on it, how were you able to hold on to that hope?
Yeah, I love, here's kind of I feel like the keys in my life is that God, you know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, you know, will show us things to come. The thing that gives me hope is that God keeps giving me glimpses of the future. And sometimes it's in a dream, sometimes it's through a prophetic word, through someone. But man, I can tell you, I'm living in times right now where people have prophesied and people have said, hey, God showed me this about you. And I just held it in my heart. You know, you have to test things by the word of God, of course. But it was literally knowing that God sees something better than what I could see in that moment. You know, when I was a worship leader at the church, I started worship leading, I think at this church around 20 years old, but around 21 or 22, I remember God telling me that he wanted me to take my musical gift and lay it down and use it for his glory. So, and what that entailed is like serve the church that I was at with my gift. Don't try to pursue making records, try to make writing my own music and pursue my own career. He wanted me in that moment, take my gift and serve the local church and serve the pastor. And that's what I did for several years, probably about 8 years. I served the local church. And like I said, I started about 20, and about at 27 is when I said, God, I must have missed it. You know, I would have made it by now. But it's through patience that we inherit the promises of God.
Wow.
And it wasn't over. I thought it was over, but little did I know I was about to walk into one of the most darkest times of my life. And so, but yet that was going to be the birthing of something.
Yeah.
I just think people give up too soon. It's because of the culture we live in. We live in a culture where everything comes instantly. Internet, microwave, food, you know, restaurants, convenience, stores, everything. And so we're not used to this thing called patience.
No.
But if you think about it, a patient man lacks nothing. If you're willing to be patient and you're willing to not give up and say, God, not in my time, your time, it'll happen.
Wow. Preaching the word, Danny Gokey here today, the much loved recording artist, taking his Hope Encounter tour across America this fall. And so many people, I mean, as a finalist, top three finalist for American Idol, so many people connected with your story. So many people were pulling for you after losing your dear wife, just before this whole process starts. I stumbled across as well, you talking about that time. You said a lot of people would ask you, you know, why would you want to do this right after your wife had passed away? And you said, believe me, I didn't want to. I had to drag myself out of bed to do it. That was an interesting reflection on it that I hadn't heard from you before. Can you take us inside what continued to motivate you during that time?
Yeah, it was honestly because things were so dark and I couldn't find my footing in that time. You know, you can't sense God at times. He's there, but a lot of times our senses will deceive us and we won't be able to really sense him as we're supposed to, or like we think we should. But I mean, literally at that time I started falling into a depression. It was like, either do I fall back further into this depression, or do I get up out of bed and try to, and just give God something to work with? You know, one of the things I've learned is that you have to sometimes force yourself to let go of things that you don't want to let go of. The very thing that is dragging you down, that's the very thing you need to force yourself and say, no, I refuse to allow these thoughts go any deeper, darker than they've gone already, because they take me to a bad place. And I think that's the key. You know, during that season of time when I was dragging myself out of bed and going to the audition, you know, it was the last year I could do it. You know, I didn't have the next year. I didn't have, you know, I was 28, and 28 is the final year you can do it.
Oh, sure.
And so I pulled myself out of bed and did it. And then I was still into a depression. And I remember crying out to God. I said, God, I can't go on a TV show like this, because I was making it through the auditions. I was in top 50. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't keep doing this. I said, God, you got to show up. And he began to speak to me. It was, be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 46:10. And you know, when you look at that verse in the Hebrew, it means there's a couple of meanings behind it. It means surrender, let go. Cause yourself to let go. Force yourself to let go. I had to force myself to let go of the question. I mean, they came up, I had to be militant and say, I'm not going to think on that question anymore. I'm not going to think on that thing anymore, because that thing takes me to such a dark place. It's almost like you have to put this wall up in your mind. But when I started doing that, I started getting free. And that's really the message I want to start talking to people about. It's like, be militant with yourself. Don't allow yourself to entertain those thoughts. Don't allow yourself to entertain that bitterness and unforgiveness, because it will wreck you. But the moment you let it go is the moment you find freedom and healing.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes me just hearing this from you. Of course, your songs mean so much more in a way, hearing your story and understanding where they come from. But this is so resonant during this time, isn't it? I mean, there are so many more people than really ever before struggling with depression, struggling with anxiety. I mean, what is it like for you to go to a show and to hear the people who come up to you afterwards and say, thank you so much for talking about this. Thank you for being this light, this window into this problem.
It honestly means a lot, because I don't want to waste the dark seasons that I've been through. To me, wasting the dark seasons would be to stay stuck in bitterness and just being upset at God and not being able to move on. But when you're able to share with it and say, hey, there's a better future, it's not what you think it is. It's what you are experiencing is really not the truth. It's something that is kind of being made up. For the most part, we're making up the scenarios. We're making them worse than they really are. And I want to keep people from going down some of the paths that I've gone down, because they've inflicted a lot of pain on me. Life is meant to be enjoyed. Life is good. And but there's an enemy who wants to put thoughts in your mind to interrupt that good life, to interrupt that good relationship with God. And so really, it's almost like you have to be a police of your own mind and a police of your own heart and put guards up so that you only keep the good in there and you make sure the bad never gets in there. And when the bad does get in there, you're able to extract it and get it out as soon as possible so that you're not wasting days.
Man, what a great word today from Danny Gokey, the beloved recording artist, the Hope Encounter Tour all across America this fall with Torrin Wells, Riley Clemens. Sir, if people are just really captivated by your story, want to learn more about you, your artistry, and the tour, where is the best place to start that journey, sir?
They can go to DannyGoki.com, or they can follow me on social media. I'm Danny Goki on all the media platforms, and you'll find out more, you know, that you're right there. You can get more information.
Well, what a great word. What an amazing story. And, sir, we didn't even start crying or yell at each other, so, wow, this has been great.
I love that. That is hilarious. It's been so good to talk to you, Ryan. I just love the opportunity, man. Thank you for the encouragement. And I'm excited for what's to come.
Bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.